I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help! I Suck at Dating.
Well, the only one that does is Dean.
Oh! That was a zinger to start off the episode,
I guess it's
right?
The week to just roast Dean. That's great.
Well, as you guys can tell, Vanessa is in studio, not over the phone. Dean, as always, is in studio. We are joined by Easton. We have a wonderful episode for you.
Today's a really interesting topic, especially something that's very personal to me, something that I've already openly talked about.
What have you talked about openly?
We spoke about
pretty much everything. What
yeah,
the better
literally.
Question is what three
what haven't we spoken
this,
about?
Exactly. This episode is focused on Vanessa, and in particular one very specific thing about Vanessa's anatomy.
Yeah, can you guess
my favorite part of Vanessa's anatomy?
I just also
yourself.
Want the audience to know
watch
that
yourself.
I'm sitting in between Vanessa and Dean right now, and I'm feeling a little uncomfortable.
Anyways, there's one port.
There's one port of Vanessa's
There's
anatomy.
One part of Vanessa's
He's
anatomy.
Getting so nervous. He's
that
just thinking
is
about
so,
my body.
So important to me. It's also very important to her. I think that it is one of the most important things about her. And she's talked about it in the past. Vanessa, do you mind elaborating a little bit for the listeners out there about what we're going to just dive into a little bit more? We're going to have some guests on to talk about their experiences.
Yeah, what part of your anatomy, of anatomy, Vanessa, are we about to dive into?
Nice. Well, it's round.
Yeah. It's very
There's
round.
Two of them.
Well, there's more than two.
There's no, there's not.
Is
there talking about my... Well, I know what
oh,
you guys are
okay. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, inside, there's more than two.
This podcast is going in a
are
different direction
about your,
than I thought
what
it
are you
was
talking
going
about right
I'm talking
now.
About my ovaries. There's two ovaries.
Oh,
and you're talking about the eggs.
I was talking about the eggs in particular. Right. But yeah. I do love the ovaries. If the eggs would be meaningless without the ovaries, right?
Right.
And so the ovaries are just as mission critical as the eggs.
Uh-huh.
And so for that reason, I respect and appreciate those beautiful ovaries just as much as those eggs inside of you
you're
as well.
Such a weird.
Well, why are we talking about your ovaries?
Well, because I've openly, the episode that I did by myself, I literally started crying. You were here. Easton was here. Mark was here. Mark was like, well, Vanessa, would you ever consider having a child without a significant other? And I literally just like choked up. And he's like, I'm so sorry I asked you this. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's just, it's been weighing on me because at that point when he asked me, I was single and I wasn't dating anyone seriously. And I am 31. And last year when I turned 30, I got off the birth control pill, but I was on it because of my menstrual cramps. And I'm like, oh, I've been on it for so long. I just don't want any like foreign things in my body anymore. So I got rid of... What are you laughing at?
Sorry. My mom is calling
can
me right
answer
now.
This on
I'll
air.
Put my phone
no,
away.
Let's answer it on air.
No, hold on. Well, oh, I hung up. Sorry, I'll put my phone away. Should I call my mom back?
What's your mom's name?
My mom is Nancy.
I want to ask her what she thinks about
I'm
the topic
so sorry to interrupt. I just was like, of course my
Nancy.
Mom would be. All right, well, let me call her back and let me see if Nancy answers the phone.
Can I answer it for you? Or answer the phone?
Sure.
I've never met Mrs. Haibon, right? That's...
Haibon, no?
Hey,
Haibon?
Mrs. Haibon, hi. This is Dean. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I don't know if your son has told you about me at all, but him and I co-host a podcast together weekly called Help I Suck at Dating. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have.
You're live on air on Help I Suck at Dating right now. Don't worry, your son is sitting right next to me. He's perfectly safe. Vanessa is here as well. We just wanted to take some time to say
hi,
hello
Nancy.
To you.
Oh, hello. Calling me.
Oh my God, this is the best accent ever. Is that the, where are you from again?
I'm from Rhode Island.
Is that the Rhode Island accent?
Yeah, it's like a Boston accent.
Wow.
Mom, what are you doing now?
I'm driving. I'm going to the grocery store, but I always have time to talk to you and your friends. Oh my God.
Nancy, I love you.
That's so
Ashley's
sweet.
So lucky to have you as a future mother-in-law. You seem so sweet.
That's Vanessa. You remember Vanessa. She was on Nick's season.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
All right. Well, Mom, I'll call you when we're out of here.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, Mrs. Haibon.
Have fun at the grocery store.
Bye.
And Mom, I told you about Thrive Market. You should be doing Thrive Market.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
Bye. Pleasure talking to you.
All right. Bye, Mom.
That's so good.
Aw,
she seems like such a sweet lady.
What an angel.
She is the, she might be the sweetest woman I've ever met.
My mom, too, is the sweetest human being ever. She doesn't have a bad bone in her.
Moms, man.
I know,
they're just,
amazing.
Yeah, it must be
they
nice
make
to have
the world go round.
Anyways,
all right,
Vanessa,
so I'm sorry.
What
continue.
Were what were you saying? You were talking about your, hey, no, it's okay. It's okay. I suck at dating. I'm the one that doesn't have a mom.
Get affection?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I know. I was thinking about it too. Let's
go back to talking about Vanessa's ovaries.
Okay. Back to the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Where did I leave off?
Who the hell knows?
I don't know. Anyway.
Where am I?
So, yeah, I got off the birth control pill. I had like really bad menstrual cramps.
How recently was this?
This is when I turned 30.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like,
so this is like 5 years ago? I'm sorry, I'm not funny.
Oh, usually you're the one that always compliments me.
Because you are. I like to sandwich things, you know. I want to compliment you, but I don't want to be too
complimentary.
Right,
right. You don't want to like make my ego.
No, I want your head to be able to fit through the door.
Yeah. Actually, my head is so small. Have you guys ever realized how small my head is?
It is. It's.
I wonder
we're
if,
talking
like,
about another part of your body.
Okay.
Right now,
okay. My ovary. Sorry. And then so once I turned 30, I didn't want any foreign things in my body anymore. So I got off birth control. And then when I turned 31, I was like, wow, I'm still single. My body's like ready to have kids, but I'm not dating anyone. What should I consider at this point in my life? And I know a few people in Bachelor World have done the egg freezing. And so I started having that subject with myself, and I started exploring that subject with my family. And I've never really looked into it too much because I felt like it scared me a little bit.
Why?
I think it scared me because if I dove into it, maybe I was going to stop my, I don't know, it's like jinxing myself or
something.
Do you
think it was kind of like a last resort, and maybe that's why you were like, ugh. Not a last resort, but like something you never imagined yourself doing?
I didn't know. Well, because especially like in East Coast, I don't know, like in Montreal, it's not something that we openly really discuss. Like in LA, everyone is so like, it's fast forward here with very progressive. I wouldn't say it was a last resort. I think, well, I want to get your opinion on this.
Yeah. That's why we're here.
Okay, Dean, if you and I would start dating.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, would you want to be a dad? What would you say?
If I told you that I wanted to be a dad?
No, if I asked you. First of all, get off your phone.
I know, I'm so sorry.
I'm having a serious conversation.
The teacher just came out of Vanessa, which was fantastic.
I'm going to confiscate your phone until the end of this podcast. So if I asked you, would you want to be a dad?
Yeah, I'd say yes.
And you said yes. And I said, well, hey, I just froze my eggs.
Okay.
What would your reaction be? Or what would be the first thought that would come up?
I don't know, actually, to be honest. I don't think that I would really put too much stock in it.
I was just thinking the same thing. I don't think it wouldn't scare me at all. I don't think it would really give a second thought. Maybe it's because we're a part of this world as well, and so it's not the first time that we as guys are hearing about women freezing their eggs. I think it's very normalized now.
Okay, well, the subject of kids coming up so early on in a relationship is, at what point should you start mentioning that? Because I've started, I think insecurities you have from like past relationships. I dated this one guy that I've openly spoken about this when I was 24. I thought he was the love of my life. I thought I was going to get married. He told me he didn't want kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Like for 2 years, I thought I was going to get married to this guy and have kids with him. And so every other relationship I would get into, one of my first questions was, do you want to have kids?
Yeah.
And I think that scared guys away.
Well, so my experience with this is I've been asked the same question before as well, where I think it's good to nip it in the bud, right? And get it on the table earlier rather than later. You don't want to be dating someone for a year or two or however long to ultimately find out that this person doesn't want to have kids. You have that John Cena situation where him and his fiance, his fiance wanted kids. He didn't want kids. And
but
then
did she know that for a while?
Contention. You know, and that's a good point, too. Maybe she thought that he could change his mind.
Yeah. And I would never want to change someone else's mind.
I will say I've dated older women in the past, and I do want kids at some point in my life. That's an absolute certainty, although I'm not ready for them anytime soon. And I want to at least address that whenever I speak with those types of women that are, you know, wanting to have kids sooner rather than later. I at least address it very very early on by saying, I want to have kids, but I just don't want to have them for another 5+ years.
Yeah, I think if you're dating someone, even after 2 months, I don't think the question is really that unfair to ask for a woman to be like,
2 months?
Hey,
I'm like 2 seconds in. Dude, should I walk out from this date?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair too. I guess it all depends on where you are at in life. I mean, if you're someone who is ready to get married tomorrow and have kids, and sure, of course, you can ask on the first date, but that might scare a dude away if you ask him on the first date. I would give it at least maybe a few dates, get to know each other, mm-hmm. really think that this could go somewhere, and then maybe bring up the future.
Well, so right now we have Sadie Murray on hold, who we know a little bit about. She's been on The Bachelor before, season 9, which was Prince Lorenzo. I'm going to butcher his last
name. Don't even pronounce
the
last name.
I want to pronounce it. Where is it? Prince?
Well, is it bottom? Borghese?
Well, how about we ask Borghese?
Borghese. He's a paisan.
He's a Borghese, a Borghese. It's a Fugazi. You know?
I don't know what that means. Anyways, she has been, I guess she was maybe the original Bachelor virgin. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but we want to gather her insight a little bit because Vanessa, obviously any type of insight can help you out with your quest as well. So let's jump over to Sadie Murray if she is on the line. Sadie, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Sadie.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Sadie.
I'm so great. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. So you're joined with Jared, Vanessa, and Dean. And do you guys want to take over?
Well, I was going to say, so Sadie, just to give a little background to the listeners. Now, Sadie, you were on season 9 of The Bachelor, and that was back in 2007, 2008?
I know. It feels like there weren't even TVs then.
There were definitely TVs. They were just black and white. completely teasing. And so Sadie, an interesting fact about you, which I did not know, and obviously is pretty relevant with this current season of The Bachelor, was that you were very open about your virginity on the show back then.
Yes. I think I was the first girl to actually, come out and talk about it.
You were the OG.
I paved the way for virgins.
Sadie, how old were you when you were on the show?
I was 24 at the time. So, and I honestly, though, you guys, I'm sure we've all talked about this before, but you think when you're talking about one thing, you don't think it's going to be used over and over and over again. I mean, there were so many other things that I talked about. Mm-hmm. And so that was definitely a shocker for me honestly, I remember watching the premiere with all of my friends and family, and there were so many awkward silences. There was not enough wine in the room to make anyone feel comfortable.
But they all knew you were a virgin too, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I was raised Christian, and that was definitely, a part of my upbringing. And so it wasn't abnormal as far as, the friends that I kept at the time. But I think the emphasis on it was definitely a surprise,
right?
For sure.
Well, so Sadie, can you jump into your experience or your journey, I guess, post show then? What kind of happened to you after, and kind of fill us in on everything that we might have missed?
Yeah, post show was so fun. So I loved being on camera. I was in PR before, and I was behind the scenes and doing fashion and beauty lifestyle pitching for magazines and TV shows. And then honestly, I cold called William Morris through a friend at Extra. They were like, you should, I was like, I really want to keep doing TV. I want to be that, I was such a cliche. So I cold called William Morris and I was like, hi, I'm a blonde girl who was a runner up on a Bachelor. I want to be a TV host. And they're like, oh my God, get in line. But yeah. I ended up meeting with them. They signed with me for a few years, and that really jump-started my world into TV. And since then, I got to host a few shows, but then I've created this business for myself, The Go-To Girlfriend, where I'll curate different segments for various TV shows, from Extra to, KTLA or wherever, Good Day LA. And I'll go on and I'll talk about fashion and beauty and lifestyle. Right now I'm working on what to buy people for Valentine's Day. So it's really, really fun. And I have The Bachelor to thank for that, truthfully. Yeah.
So what do you think people should buy their significant others for Valentine's Day?
Oh, my God. So, there's so many good things, but you can't. Right now, I'm talking with a few people. I love those. And you have to go with flowers for sure, but not just rinky-dink flowers from the grocery store.
I'm not a flower person at all. I think even, when I was on the show, I mentioned how I'm getting a rose at a rose ceremony. Obviously, I wanted the rose for what it symbolized, but I don't like flowers. I like what they're doing nowadays. They take kale and arugula and they turn it into a flower arrangement.
Every girl says they're not flower girls.
I'm not.
And
you know
then
why?
You don't get flowers for them on Valentine's Day.
Can I say something? I told this guy that I'm now dating, I told him I don't like flowers. And so what he sent me before our first date is a bouquet of Kit Kat.
Well, that's very sweet.
But that's what I'd rather. Creative. That's right.
But like somebody you've been dating for quite some time, like if I didn't get flowers for Ashley, and I don't think she's branded right. herself as a flower girl, she would be so sad.
Yeah, there is definitely a certain appreciation
yeah,
for flowers.
Yeah, there's an unspoken need for the flowers. Just do it. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Jewelry's a plus, too. Don't want to forget that.
Yeah, jewelry is always a good one. Sadie, I actually kind of wanted to ask you a quick question about your experience on The Bachelor.
Lorenzo,
because you actually had a really interesting experience off show as well. Because Sadie, you were runner up on your season 9 of The Bachelor, and then he picked someone else. But then he broke up with her, and then you guys started dating again.
Yes,
that happened a lot on The Bachelor.
How did that happen?
So it was really wild because I walked into that final ceremony feeling really, really confident. Like I thought he was going to pick me, and I didn't think I was like the greatest thing on earth, but I was like, yeah, he's going to pick me. Why wouldn't he? We had such a great time. So I was really thrown when he didn't. And then I remember he covered his mic and started like tapping it and was like, I'll text you after the show. I'll text you after all this and I'll explain later.
Phones existed in 20... I'm kidding.
It was a pay phone, Vanessa.
Those good ones?
Right. I remember, though, I was at the airport and I was just like, I called my mom and I'm like, I have no idea what just happened. Like, I don't know what is going to air. I don't know what just happened. But he was emailing me at the time and was like, I wanted to pick you, but I was really confused. And then, so yeah, long story short, he was doing all the press with Jen, the winner, and I was watching them on Good Morning America, and he was texting me, like, wish me luck.
No way.
And I'm just like, yes.
How soon after did he break up with her and start dating you?
I would say within a couple months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. How juicy.
But I moved to New York for a job right after the show. I was like, I don't know if you guys felt this way, but did you feel like you needed sort of like another high right after the show? Like another
No. I wanted to get far away from it.
Yeah. I wanted to get far away from it in my own way, but I wanted like another major, I wanted something else to go to. I was really, I wanted one more thing. And so I ended up getting a job in New York, and he lived in New York. And so we naturally started dating. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
It was super casual, but you know,
was he an actual prince?
He was a prince by nobility. So he wasn't a royal. Mm. So it was just basically, a family given title.
Oh. So could it, like, I give myself the title of prince in my family?
Like when I have a child? Yeah,
No, I mean, it's not like Queen Latifah, but I believe it, like, ran in his family. It's like, his mom was a princess, you know?
Oh, okay.
So, so it was basically through nobility.
Well, Sadie, do you still watch The Bachelor today?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get in when I can. I'm trying my hardest to get into this season. The premiere was just so long.
Yeah.
Like,
the live part. I couldn't watch the live part.
Sorry about that.
The host of the live part just really killed it for me.
Sure, and Ashley did such a great job. Yeah.
It was
so cute.
It was really
so
good.
Great.
Thanks, Sadie. I appreciate it. Well, the reason I ask is because I'm curious from someone who's been in the franchise but was on season 9, do you notice any really huge differences between what the show was back then and what it is now?
I mean, it's so elevated as far as the characters go. I mean, on my season, everybody was kind of not like basic, but really they seemed more normal. I feel like it's really amplified, like with the girl bringing her puppy and then the chariot, like everything is just a little bit more amplified. And I mean, it makes for great TV. I mean, especially when you're competing against other shows like 90 Day Fiancé, Married at First Sight. I mean, we need it to be watchable. Like, we want to be sucked in. So I would say as far as the foundation goes, it's all completely the same, but I mean, it's just the girls are a little bit more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Exciting is a good way to put it.
Yeah, a lot of different characters.
How would you put it, Dean?
I would say exactly that. They're a little bit more exciting. I mean, again, I didn't watch Bachelor in 2008, but, you know.
Oh, you're saying now? Yeah. So I feel like the leads, I mean, they got a Prince to be one of the leads.
Colton's a former professional football player.
That's true.
I
know, but I thought it was like back then, I thought it was like princes and stuff. I don't know. I guess like that's when it first came out.
I think it used to be a little bit more celebrity driven.
Right.
And
or high profile. That's what I meant.
But I do think it's probably changed over the years because I think audiences really get attached.
Right.
And I think The Bachelor kind of found its formula by bringing someone who, you know, listen, whoever the Bachelor or the Bachelorette is extremely good looking, probably pretty successful. Mm-hmm. But I will say, yeah, I'm sure that they like bringing them in likable, right? And a little bit more relatable. I think they like having their lead a little bit more relatable today.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sadie, so we're having a conversation. I'm 31. And I was on Nick's season of The Bachelor, got engaged to Nick, ended, our relationship ended, I don't know how many months in, November, December, January, February, March,
about
April,
six
May,
months.
June, July. No, well, we got engaged in November, and we only came out in March.
Anyways.
Anyway. Anyway, whatever, under a year. And I thought, you know, after him and I, after our relationship ended, I'm like, oh, for sure, like, meet someone or whatever. And I hadn't met anyone up until very recently. So when I turned 31, which is a couple months ago, I was having this conversation with myself of egg freezing. And I don't know what your take is on that. I don't know how old you are, but what would your...
I'm 35.
You're 35. Okay, you're 35 and single. And have you ever had the conversation of freezing your eggs?
Yeah. So I recently... So I'm like you. I mean, I feel like... it's almost like, not that the relationship dictates your whole life per se, but I went through a series of, I mean, relationships recently where it just didn't work out and the timing hasn't lined up, but the biological clock is still real.
Right.
And so I had to, like you, look at it from just a logical perspective. Like I was 34 when my last relationship ended. And I was like, wow, I really thought we were going to get married. I really thought that this was going to be the next phase of my life. And I would start thinking about a family and all that. And then it abruptly came to an end. And so I went and met with a fertility doctor and he was like, you are in the nick of time. Hmm. You want to do this, you know, within the next year or so. And so I ended up freezing my eggs this past November.
Oh, so this is recent.
Yeah. And so, and it went really well. It was amazing. But I mean, and the process alone it's a little daunting.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty brutal. Like, don't you have to inject? I was thinking about it. I never really looked into what the process is like. I know Caitlin Bristow did it. And now she's 33 years old and she's newly single. And so I guess like as a woman, you have these conversations with yourself because you're like, okay, well, I want to have kids, but I want to make sure that, you know, there's enough eggs left in me and the eggs that are left in me are like really good.
Viable.
Like, yeah, exactly. So they said, so you were 34 or 35 when you were 35 when you did it.
I was 35 when I did it. I honestly, though, it took me a year to sort of process what I was about to do because I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. I mean, I didn't really have, none of my girlfriends have done it. You know, I'm sort of the first one. And there were a couple people, one of the girls actually on the Real Housewives of Orange County, Emily, she I met her maybe a year and a half ago, and she was the one that encouraged me to do it. And she was like, why wait? Like, why? What are you waiting for?
Right.
Like, you have the means,
I guess it's
the
fear that just paralyzes you from like moving forward and actually doing it.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, but the thing is, though, it's temporary pain for something that, for peace of mind, which will last as long as you need it to until you have your cute little baby.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, I'm the kind of person that will do anything for my family, no matter what. Family is the most important thing to me. And I thought about how for my future family, when I do have my kiddos, I'll run through fire. I'll, you know, jump in front of a train for them. Like, I'll sacrifice anything. So why not start sacrificing now? And I mean, I can deal. I had to kind of break it down. I was like, okay, the worst of the worst is this, the pain from the needles. I'm going to be probably a little crazy for the next like 6 weeks.
And that's the thing. Sorry to interrupt you. I think
that's okay.
I don't think men realize how emotional, at least I can get very emotional around like the time of my period, and I can get like very, not moody, but I'll be super tired all at once, you know, and then I'll want to just like lay in bed and my stomach will hurt and my flow's not even that heavy. And I'm like, well, what's happening? It's not a heavy flow, but I'm like super tired.
I got to be honest. When I woke up this morning, I did not think that I was going to hear the phrase, my flow's not that heavy.
Well, you know, there are some pretty famous movie stars or actresses that have frozen their eggs, like Olivia Munn, Sofia Vergara, Maria Menounos. They've all frozen their eggs.
Oh, how old were they when they froze them?
Probably in early 30s. Really? I don't have the exact numbers on that.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, people don't take into it, men don't take into account the toll that it probably has on a female's body, including even like birth control. Like that stuff has a big toll on a woman's body.
I thought my boobs were going to grow. They never grew.
What do you mean?
Your boobs are perfect, like, just the way they are.
Birth control?
Oh, yeah, your boobs can, you can like gain weight or like get like bigger breasts.
Yeah, but doesn't your body kind of start adjusting to it after you use it for a while and then it's...
I just never had a reaction to me. I think it was on a very low dose.
But men just go through life thinking that this is just, you know, there's nothing really to worry about, but there's a lot that goes on that we don't necessarily see.
Like pre-conceiving. And then after, like once you're pregnant, that's a whole, I've never been pregnant, but I've seen my sister go through and all my like really close friends. And then you have to push a baby out of you.
A watermelon. Like, you're pushing a watermelon out of your body.
And I think for men, it's what the equivalent is, they said, is imagine pushing out a golf ball.
Yeah. Well, they say that kidney stones
could be
comparable.
Sadie,
but
can you tell us about your dating life post freezing?
I don't think anything that can be comparable.
Post freezing my eggs?
Yeah. So what's dating for you been like since November?
It's been so great. I mean, this was the other thing I wanted to tell you guys, that it's so empowering to be able to do it, because I feel like I'm taking the pressure off. Like after I froze my eggs, I was like, oh my God, like, okay, I can, because even though I meet a great guy and I go on a date and we have so much fun and it's amazing, I think as a woman, you just sort of start to go through the process of like the timeline. Okay, like if we date for a year, that's a year of my life. And what if we don't get engaged? Then I'm back where I started. Like you kind of go through what could be, of course. And I'm just not doing that anymore. And so it's made it really light and free and fun and easy. And I know that I've got my eggs on ice and they're there for me for whenever I'm ready. And until then, I don't have to sacrifice, you know, my standard for wanting to have a family.
Well, there you go. Vanessa, I hope that's the encouragement that you're...
I want to hear from a guy's perspective too, though.
Well, you'll find it.
We'll get there.
Well, actually,
so Sadie, once we get real men on this podcast, we'll let you know.
Sadie, not nice, Jared. So, Sadie,
I would say do it. Just do it. I mean, honestly, if you have the means and you have the time, it's not like you go psycho for 6 weeks. I mean, you can handle it. You may just be crampy. You're not like, you're not out there like doing, like, you're not like committing crimes.
Sadie, what are the odds? What are the odds we see you on another Bachelor show? Bachelor in Paradise.
Come on, God, Paradise this summer.
No. You're single.
You're single.
Please.
I always say never say never, Sadie.
It's really nice this time of year in Puerto Vallarta.
The pressure's off. You have your eggs frozen.
I know, you're so right. No, I think that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed for me. Yeah. I'd rather go to Puerto Vallarta like on my own.
Without cameras around.
Wow.
Yeah, without cameras.
That makes all of us.
Well, Sadie, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experience with everything. Do you want to plug anything before we get you off? I know you have, obviously, like you said, your go-to girlfriend.
Yeah, all my info is on Instagram, and I'm at go-to girlfriend. So you can find everything there, and it's so much fun. I do great fun shoots with Extra, with Mario Lopez, and there's so many fun things going on right now. So yeah, just check out Instagram.
Awesome. Go-to girlfriend on Instagram. Maybe we'll see you in Paradise next year. Who knows? I'm still holding out for it.
You never know what the future brings.
Exactly. Yeah. A good resurgence. You said the last time you were on, you were 24. Now you're going to be 34.
35.
So. Yeah, it's just 35. Oh, my God. I know. That would be like a true 10-year.
I was going to say, everyone's been posting these 10-year challenges. This is the 10-year challenge that I want to see. So, Sadie, thank you so much again for calling in and sharing your story. And it's great to hear everything's going so well for you. And hopefully we talk to you soon.
All right. Right on. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye. Okay, before we jump into and kind of dissect that and digest it and spit it back out again, let's talk about something very, very cool. Joybird.
Well, Joybird's pretty awesome. So my parents got a new TV for Christmas, which was really nice, but they needed to shop for a new TV stand. So my dad and I, it took us like all day to go out. We did went to a couple different furniture stores. We had to deal with crowds and lines. And while I love shopping for furniture, it just sucks having to deal with the public while doing it.
Where is your favorite place to shop for that kind of stuff, Jared?
Well, it's obviously Joybird. So Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings and that you should always have the freedom to be boldly original. So each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision. It uses high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. And there is a limited lifetime warranty included in everything they sell. The best part is that there is also a 365-day home trial. You get to skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home.
That's amazing. So, I feel like that's the best part of the whole thing with Joybird. Because when you're looking for furniture and stuff, like, you want to make sure, like, it's comfortable. And, like, once you get a couch and you sit on it, you're like, oh, I'm going to have to call them back. And, like, even with your mattress and stuff. So you get to sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. And if you don't love Joybird, you get a return for a full refund, which is one of the greatest things that they can offer. And it's hassle-free in-home delivery. They'll even remove all the packaging materials. And that's, like, one of the annoying parts, too. When you get something, you have to, like, you know, like... Well, I mean, there's some furniture companies where you have to assemble
or you got to like take off the box, and the box takes like 4 hours to open up because it's double duct taped and all that.
I had this big empty space in my bedroom for a long time. So I decided to jump on Joybird, obviously, and I ordered the Hue sofa in Taylor Gray.
Ooh.
And I got to say, it is.
Is it cozy?
Unbelievable. It's cozy.
Have you ever cuddled with a significant other on that couch?
Well, the couch is more for like guests to sit on in my bedroom.
That's very nice.
Whenever I have guests in my bedroom, which obviously happens all the time. And actually, what
that
I really mean by that,
kinky.
I actually use it a lot for like my dirty laundry, is I just throw it over the.
It on the couch instead of the bed.
But at the end of the day, when the room is clean, it really ties the room together. It's absolutely beautiful. I honestly invite people into my, like, if we have guests over for like a house party or something, I'll invite them in my room because I want to show off my sweet new Joybird couch.
Right. And if you don't like it.
Right. Which I love.
But I'm saying if you need to like return it, whatever, you get free returns within 2 weeks of delivery.
Right. Which is unbelievable. I mean, I would never return it, but it's good to know that three months ago when I got it, I could have returned it within the 2 weeks, but I plan on never doing it. But they also have that 365-day home trial, as Jared was talking about before. But if you guys want to check it out and see how revolutionizing Joybird is and how much they're revolutionizing the online furniture shopping industry, create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Dean and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by, again, using that code Dean, D-E-A-N. And 25% is a lot, especially when it comes to furniture.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And free return and packaging.
It's a great cost. You know, it's very inexpensive, but it's also very beautiful and very sturdy. And from what I can tell of my couch that I've had, again, for 3 months now, it's going to be able to withstand the test of time and use and all that kind of stuff. So again, go to joybird.com/Dean. That's joybird.com/DEAN. So next up, we have Whitney Bischoff, who you guys probably recognize that name from Chris Soule's season. Chris Soule's another throwback, but we would love to talk to her. She froze her eggs.
She's a fertility nurse.
She's a fertility nurse.
So I think she's
the
one that
helped. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
No one's better than Whitney.
Yeah, she has all the information I need.
She checks all the boxes. Whitney, are you there?
I am here. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hi, Whitney.
Hi, Whitney.
So thank you so much for calling in today. You're here with me, Jared, and Vanessa. And today's topic, we're discussing freezing your eggs because it's something that Vanessa has been open about in the past. Mm-hmm. And we kind of want to gather insight from everyone around us that we possibly can. Whitney, before we jump into that, though, do you mind sharing more about yourself just to kind of refresh the listeners' minds?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know how much you want me to tell about myself.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, you just recently got married. Oh, it's a year, right?
Yeah, we just had our year anniversary. So recently got married. We got married in Cape Cod. It was absolutely beautiful.
Wonderful.
But some people may remember me from season 19 of The Bachelor. Mm. That was seems like it was forever ago. It was mm-hmm. like 2015. So a lot has changed since then. But I am a fertility nurse specializing in egg freezing. So Vanessa, I am here to answer
questions.
So bring it on.
Okay. So, first of all, Whitney, I don't know if you remember meeting me. We met at...
Yes,
exactly. We met at their wedding, and I was telling Jared this before we started recording today. I remember seeing, I might start crying. Why am I so emotional? I'm not even on my period. But I remember seeing you with, then I guess it was your fiance. You were getting married within a couple of months. I remember seeing how happy you were. And at that point in my relationship with Nick, we weren't doing that great. And so I remember looking at you guys and thinking like, okay, well, there is hope.
Yeah.
And there is hope outside of the Bachelor world if ever, you know.
Yeah. Understand that feeling that you felt completely, so more than you know. So yeah. Yes.
So I feel like I can relate to you on so many different levels, especially like you're a fertility nurse and you've helped out, I think, a few people in the Bachelor world when it came to egg freezing, specifically Caitlin
and Carly and
Carly as well.
Carly before Paradise. Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. Can you just explain the process? Well, before we get into the process, at what age should we start thinking about this? Because right now I'm watching the Mindy Project. Well, it's like the third time I watched this, but she's a fertility, she has a fertility clinic and she goes around campuses and she tells like women in their 20s to start freezing their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm 31. Did I like miss the mark?
You really didn't. No, I mean, in a perfect world, we would love to reach women in their mid to late 20s to freeze their eggs, because the younger you are when you do this, the better, because the quality and the quantity of your eggs is going to be the best the younger that you are. But it's important to remember that any time is better than no time.
Mm-hmm.
And studies have been done on a woman's ovarian reserve and what happens as we age. And those studies really show us that the best time to do this is between the ages of 25 and 35.
Mm.
Now, for women that are over 35, again, it doesn't mean that you're a candidate. I think at that point, or that you're not a candidate, excuse me. But I think at that point, it's really about managing expectations about what treatment is going to look like for you specifically.
Okay, so it's so funny that you say mid to late 20s, because I feel like when we're in our 20s, we're trying not to get pregnant. But that's when we're at our prime, right? Our eggs are like
it is
the most fertile.
So much of a catch-22, because you're right. I mean, the younger you are when you do this, the better, but you're not thinking about that, you know, freezing your eggs in your 20s. And, you know, a lot of times if you are thinking about it, you're thinking, I've got plenty of time, I don't need to be, or you aren't as financially stable as you would like to be, so you kind of push it off that way. But the younger you are when you do it, the best chance of success, the better the outcome, and really the cheaper it is.
So can we just get into anatomy? Because I don't know if everyone knows that women, I don't know, this might be an ignorant comment for me to say, but I don't know if everyone knows that women are born with all of their eggs.
Yes. So women are born with all of the eggs that they will ever have in their lifetime. So,
and how many is that?
So it's millions. It's millions. On average. I mean, there's some women that, you know, have some sort of genetic predisposition or something to where they would have less, or they would have premature ovarian failure. But typically it's millions. The comparison is men. So men, they make sperm every 74 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very different.
Rock on, Dean.
And, you know, the studies that
they're
show,
like fist pumping each other.
So it's so unfair. But the studies that have been done on women's reserve, if we think about this is the best way that I explain it to patients, is if we thought of this imaginary line graph in our mind, and the day that you're born, you're on the top left with millions of eggs, and starting of day one of life, you're losing eggs every single day.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
but is it every single day, or is it every time you menstruate?
Every day, you're losing eggs. It's
every day I'm losing eggs? I thought it was every time I menstruate. Oh, wait, no, an egg drops every time I menstruate.
Correct. And so you have many, many immature oocytes, which are eggs, that are just, you know, only one matures each month, and you lose that one. But all of the immature ones are just absorbed within the body.
So
the fertility is declining, or that line is declining gradually over time. The rate at which that line declines, though, is going to vary from person to person, depending on genetics, you know, their health, you know, many, many different things can affect that.
But the point is that each woman has a finite number of eggs.
Right.
Right.
Well, we have millions. We start off with millions, but I want to know, what's the ratio between the infertile ones, or the mature ones, as you were calling them?
Yeah. So, I mean, every single month, if you know, when you're going through your cycle, you mature one and you ovulate that egg out. Now, obviously, there's exceptions to every single rule. This is not black and white. Science never is. Occasionally, there's women that mature more than one egg and they ovulate that out, and that's where we see twins.
Oh.
We see fraternal twins. Identical twins would be once an egg is fertilized right. and once, and then it's split.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. I wouldn't be able to give you an exact number, though, of the ratio of mature to immature.
Yeah.
When you said earlier that it's actually cheaper for girls to do it younger, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Why is it cheaper?
It's cheaper because the more fertile that you are, so the younger that you are, the less medications you're going to need to stimulate the ovaries, and the likelihood of you only needing one treatment cycle is greater. And that always has people kind of question, like, one treatment cycle, what does that even mean?
Right.
Well, the goal number of eggs to freeze is typically around 15 to 20 eggs. Mm. And that doesn't equal 15 to 20 babies, because there's a lot that has to happen between the time we retrieve the eggs and the time that, you know, we would create embryos and transfer them. But there's a natural attrition that takes place. So for a woman, this is just for sake of example, let's say she comes in, she freezes her eggs, and we're able to get 6 to 7 eggs. Well, that's better than if you did nothing. The chance of success from that is small, because once you come back, if and when to use the eggs, we have to thaw them, we have to fertilize them, they have to grow into embryos. My point here is that at every step of the way, it's likely that you may lose an egg here or there.
Yeah.
So if you're starting with 6, that's not really giving you the best rate of success.
Gotcha.
So 15 to 20 is really that goal number. The younger you are, the more of the likelihood that you're going to knock out 15 to 20 in one cycle,
mm-hmm.
because you have more, versus the older that you are, it may take a couple treatment rounds to get to that goal number, since the price is going to go up.
And what does a treatment look like? What's the process?
Treatment is about 10 to 14 days of giving yourself injections. That always seems to scare people, but you know, when they kind of go through the process, it's more of the unknown that seems to be more scary. Once they go through that first night of injections, you know, they realize that it isn't as bad as what they really thought. But 10 to 14 days of injections. Throughout the 10 to 14 days, you would go into the facility on an average about 6 times over 2 weeks to monitor your response to the medication. So seeing how well you're responding. So that way, if the physician needs to titrate the meds at all, if you need an increase in them, if you need to cut back a little bit, we can do that based on your response. And then after that 2-week period, you do go in for your extraction process that is done under twilight sedation. It is an outpatient procedure, but it's something to where it's kind of, it's similar to if you had your wisdom teeth taken out, you have an IV, mm-hmm. but you're breathing and everything on your own. It's not like general anesthesia, but the process itself is only about 10 or 15 minutes.
Hmm. And that's one time. So you go to the doctor's office 6 times on an average
throughout,
of 2 weeks?
There's
right.
some people that need to go as many times and some people that do need to be seen more often than
and
that.
The extraction is once.
Once. Now, that's for one treatment cycle. When I'm talking about women that need to go...
Or older.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then that would be multiple times.
Okay.
So, Whitney, what is your recommendation for someone like Vanessa?
So, you know, and I'm speaking from a nurse and also a patient. I froze my egg 6 years ago.
And how old were you?
I was 27.
Okay.
My recommendation is to gain as much knowledge as possible. I think that, you know, there's a lot that you can find online. And as amazing as egg freezing is, I think it's important to be sure that you're getting the right information to make sure that this is a good decision for you. So where I work, we in Chicago, is OVA Egg Freezing. We offer complimentary initial consults to really talk about everything egg freezing and what it would specifically mean for you. And the initial consult, like I said, with me is complimentary. And then we talk about what next steps would be. And next steps is really gaining more information about you specifically and your fertility through some pre-screen testing, ultrasound, blood work, etc., to kind of get an idea of what your fertility is right now. And from that point, were able to put together a treatment plan. You're able to then sit down with the physician with your results so that we can customize the plan and also manage expectations about what treatment's really going to look like.
So if someone like me or anyone that's listening wants to do this type of procedure, what kind of budgeting should we start looking into?
Yeah, so it's going to vary. And I think that, you know, most insurance companies, unfortunately, are not on board with this because they're not considering it fertility treatment. They're considering it an elective procedure, mm-hmm. which is really unfortunate and something that we're working to change. But if you are a self-pay patient, I would plan that one treatment cycle is going to range somewhere between $7,000 to $8,000, and that does not include your medications.
Oh.
So medications would be on top of that, and your medications are ordered for you directly dependent on how fertile you are. So again, the more fertile you are, the in that pre-screen testing, the less meds you're going to need to really stimulate the ovaries, and then vice versa. So those can range on average from like $3,000 to $7,000 per cycle. So it's very pricey, but we do see that some insurance companies do offer some coverage from the medication side of things.
Oh, that's good.
So they have some help there. And at our facility specifically, we do offer customized financial packages, financial plans, payment plans, and things like that. So definitely ask questions about how you can save money.
And this might be a dumb question, but there's no side effects from getting your eggs frozen, are there?
There, definitely. So anytime that you're having A, a medical procedure, or B, taking medication, there's a risk of side effects. The risk with egg freezing is small, but they're definitely there and something that you really want to speak with your physician about. Side effects of medications, typically what I see from patients and what I experience personally, temporary weight gain, bloating. Occasionally, patients complain of being a little bit more emotional, but they are, again, it's important to remember that they are temporary.
So, Dita and I were talking about our 2019 New Year's resolution, and I don't know if I told you investing was one of mine.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
What are you going to invest in?
Well, I need help investing.
That's fair.
Invest in yourself, but also invest in some
other stuff. Yeah. So, there's this is an investing app. So, now, like, I have like an app for organizing. Robinhood.
Okay.
So Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission free, and strive to make financial services that work for everyone, not just the wealthy, which, I mean, I can greatly benefit from this.
One day we'll be considered the wealthy. Some of the values of the Robinhood app are that there are no commission fees, like Vanessa just said. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every single trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees, trade stocks, and keep all of your profits at the end of the day, which is fantastic. It's also designed to help you understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone, whether it's an iPhone, an Android. It doesn't necessarily matter what it is, as long as you have the Robinhood app. If you want to go on your computer, use the Robinhood web platform, which also lets you view stock collections and their 100 most popular sectors like entertainment, social media, curated categories like female CEOs. It really lets you narrow down which stocks you want to invest in based on any kind of information that you could ever possibly look for. And right now, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Because as Vanessa said, it's her New Year's resolution to be investing as well. And I just got into investing like last year. Granted, I'm not doing it as much as I should. It's a lot
but
more.
But this helps you like understand it. And then there's like it has like the ratings to buy, hold, sell for every stock. So it helps you. It helps guide you.
So totally. So about 6 to 7 months ago when I got into it, it was very challenging for me because I had read books. I took business and finance classes in college, but I didn't really fully understand it. And this was before I knew about the Robinhood app.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like struggled through it. I was falling over myself, not really knowing what I was doing, investing in companies that I didn't really know much about.
Right.
But now what's great about Robinhood is you're able to do your research. They're able to help guide you down the right path to investing and helping you build your wealth through the app itself. So go to dean1.robinhood.com. Again, that is DEAN, the number one. Robinhood.com. Check it out. Winnie, question for you. And this, Jared said his was a dumb question. This might be the dumbest of all questions.
There's no dumb question.
When you extract an egg to be frozen, are you pulling from, like, when the female body drops an egg or discards an egg, Is it just pulling an egg at random? Is there an egg in the queue? And then when you pull one to be frozen, are you pulling that egg that's last in the queue, or are you just going in there and pulling from some random location? How does that work?
So I think I'm understanding what you're asking, but I might do a bad job.
Like what if you pull the egg that's next in the queue to be fertilized if she were to inseminate naturally?
Okay. So basically, every single month you're recruiting many, many oocytes or immature eggs, like I talked about, and you mature or ovulate out one, and all of those other ones that were in this queue, so to speak, are then lost and absorbed within the body.
Mm.
So we're not taking any eggs that you would need in the future if you were to conceive naturally.
Gotcha.
So we're essentially saving the eggs that you would have lost that month anyway.
That makes sense. That perfectly answers
the
question.
Is that what you're asking?
Yep.
Wait, can you repeat that last part? You're saving the eggs that we would have otherwise have lost.
Anyways, that specific month.
The immature eggs.
The immature. We're maturing them with medication, extracting them. If you hadn't done treatment, you would have just lost those eggs.
Okay.
It's not like you store them up for future use.
That's a pretty big selling point on that, I feel
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But how do you know if one is mature or not? Did I miss that part?
So you know that by looking underneath the microscope, and that's what the embryologists do. That's what they're trained to do. And through vitrification, which is the science of egg freezing that we're doing, it's really important. I do want to say this, especially for all of the listeners out there, that not only that you're vetting the facility and the physician that you're working with, but the lab is such a key part in this, because the lab and the embryologists are the ones that are actually freezing your eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And egg freezing is a very fine-tuned technology. This isn't like freezing an embryo with IVF. Embryos are much more stable than eggs because they're all of the chromosomes that you need to make a baby, whereas eggs are only half of them, and they're very, very fragile. So again, it's a practice that takes place to really gain success with this. So you don't want to just Google something and go and do it. You really want to do your research and ask the right questions.
So you said it costs between $7,000 to $8,000 without medication per treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't include like the reservoir, right?
Yeah. So the storing in our facility, we include 1 year of storing in the first treatment, the package for that $7,000 to $8,000. It's going to vary from year to year. On average, it's about $500 to $600 a year to store the eggs.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
to be more manageable than when you're talking about treatment itself.
That's how much like a storage unit would cost. Like out in Los Angeles or something.
Yeah,
like $50 a month, roughly. Yeah.
You're comparing my eggs to a storage
facility.
Just putting it in context here.
I'm comparing your eggs to the furniture that I would put in a storage unit.
Right.
My Joybird.
Yeah, there you go.
Whitney, let's flip it real quick, because for a while, as a younger man, like my late teens, early 20s, I had always thought about freezing my sperm.
Yeah.
Do you guys work on that at all?
So at OVA specifically, we do not. We're actually in only doing eggs at this point.
Gotcha.
But with men, it's a completely different ballgame, and it's totally unfair.
Yeah.
You do see in studies that as men age, there is a little bit of the quality that is affected in terms of their sperm, but not nearly as drastic as women. So men make sperm every 74 days. They will continue to do so until basically the day they die. Now, when I think it's really important to think about freezing your sperm is if there is some sort of medical condition, specifically cancer, or any sort of cancer treatments that would affect the sperm cells and could make you sterile. So at that point, yes, definitely you want to sperm as much as possible for you before you would undergo treatment.
Gotcha.
So, Dean, I have a question for you. Did you want to freeze your sperm in order to get, like, did you want to get snipped?
I mean, the thought that I had as a younger man was to get my sperm frozen and then get a vasectomy.
Okay.
No.
I mean, granted, I don't have that opinion anymore. It's not necessarily the worst idea. Although,
because you could reverse the vasectomy, right? But it's not always guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, that was the thought. Because have you ever heard that saying? It makes more sense to take the bullets out of a gun than it does to shoot out a bullet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's just where I was at. I was like, I mean, I would rather have some say over this very important thing in my life.
And right? You were looking forward to having a gun that didn't shoot any bullets. That you but could then use I could, as much could, as you wanted.
Right,
to
and then I could just like save the golden bullets for later on.
Yeah, but you would need to still put that gun in a holster, if you know what I mean.
Cause right.
You know what I mean? Like,
because yeah, sure.
Then I'd be nervous about being
things.
More,
right.
You know, loose-minded about right. it. Be like, oh, well, now I'm fine forgetting yeah. about,
for
oh,
that,
I don't know, STDs.
Gun diseases.
Yeah, gun diseases.
Whitney, thank you so much for calling in and speaking to us today.
Whitney, I'll definitely be reaching out to you. I have other questions for you. But is there any, like, where can we find you or where can we find the OVA clinic?
Yes. Yeah, so OVA is, our website is ovaeggfreezing.com. And for any inquiries or to schedule that complimentary consultation, you can just shoot us an email at info@ovaeggfreezing.com.
That's amazing.
Perfect. And where can we find you on Instagram?
I am, oh gosh, I need to be better about Instagram. I am so bad about posting and things, but I am at WhitB624.
Perfect.
Well, Whitney, thank you so much
thank
for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Please tell Ricky I said what's up, because he's
I
awesome.
I will, Jared. I will.
And congratulations on your one-year wedding anniversary.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Whitney.
Bye, Whitney. You know what's, you know what's...
That was so informative.
That was great. You know what's funny? Thinking about... So, the first time I met Whitney was at Carly and Evan's wedding.
Oh, that was the first time?
I think it was
you
the first
too?
Time I met,
okay.
Yeah. And then, you know what's really funny when you think about back upon that time? So that was almost 2 years ago. You were with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't with Ashley.
Mm-mm.
Your season of Paradise was, at the moment, indefinitely suspended.
Mm, those are better, simpler times.
Isn't it crazy to think about, like, wow, that
simpler
was...
Simpler times.
Yeah. That was, feels like a
it wasn't
10
that,
years ago.
It wasn't that simple.
For me, it was. Yeah. It's much simpler for me. Anyways, yeah, so Vanessa, what are you coming away from all of that with? It sounds like we
Well, I have
just
a
got...
ton of information.
Yeah.
So I guess the only, like, I don't know, maybe this is just a dumb statement. The only real downside of freezing eggs would
is
be the money.
Cost. Yeah, that's costly. So that's, I guess that's what she was saying. If you're younger, like if you're, she was saying mid to late 20s, then one treatment, yeah. Well, late to mid-20s
oh, yeah, yeah.
is when you're most fertile. So then one treatment would probably be enough to get those 20 to 25 eggs. Now,
yeah.
at my age, at 31, now, you know, I don't know what it looks like, but it might be a little bit more costly as you age because you might need to do more treatments in order to get those eggs, to extract those eggs.
I count my lucky stars every day that I am a guy, because women, you just have to think so much more about
things. But I think
things.
That's, and if you relate to, and I love that you brought that point up, because people say I'm such a thinker. I'm like, yeah, I'm a thinker because.
You have to be.
I kind of have to, yeah.
Like as a guy, it's.
I don't have to think.
As a woman,
I don't have to.
Like you
yeah.
have to, you know, we can conceive one time at one, you know, we can conceive every, how can I explain this? Like, I can have a baby with one man at a time.
Right.
You can go and, like, spread
well,
your seed
as many as you want
to as many women in
Tom Brady, day. For example.
Tom Brady.
What happened with Tom Brady?
He had two women pregnant at the same time.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, was Giselle pregnant at the same time?
That's a great
time?
Example.
I think she was pregnant a little afterwards.
Was it back to back?
What happened was Bridget was pregnant while he first started dating Giselle.
Ah, I
that
see.
Was the issue.
If Genghis Khan was a woman... I mean,
oh my God.
You know, the Mongolians never would have ruled as
exactly.
greatly as they did, I guess.
But even it's funny, you're still so young, you're 31 years old, but then in these terms, you're thinking, wow, I'm old because I only have a few more years where I really have to make a decision on what I'm going to do with my family, so to speak.
Well,
even though it's not impossible after you're 35, but I feel like a lot of women talk about being 35 as like the beginning of the end of like, I need to really start having kids now.
I think it was a big reality check when Mark and I were having this discussion. And I never thought I would, because I come from a traditional Italian family where everyone is married before the age of 30 and they already have their kids and they already have like their family and their house and all that. And I'm like, wow, I went on The Bachelor to find love. That was my story. Dean, what's going on? Are you checking your ovaries?
Well, that's a great story. One, and Dean just has his shirt up, and he's just checking his stomach, make sure everything's in place.
I got like a rash this past weekend. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrupt.
Are you not using soap again?
No.
I think you know what you need to go. You need to go to Thrive Market.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do they have at Thrive Market that would be good
well,
for me?
At Thrive Market?
Everything.
They have everything. They have soap. They got groceries. They got baby wipes and baby diapers whenever you're like done freezing your sperm and ready to have kids.
And I'm sure they have some aloe for you that you could put on that rash.
I bet you they have
yeah,
some all-natural calamine lotion.
Of course. You guys know what Thrive Market is. It's the online marketplace that we talk about all the time because we love it so much. so much, and they are on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for you, me, Vanessa, Dean, everybody. They offer high quality, healthy, and sustainable products available for every budget, lifestyle, and no matter where you are in the world, because guess what, guys?
Tell us.
They deliver right to your door.
Ah, oh, that's amazing.
You can shop for thousands of the best-selling organic foods and natural products. So check out that aloe on there. At 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. Shopping at Thrive Market means supporting a selective group of brands that make the world a better place. They sell non-GMO foods, snacks, vitamins, supplements, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, safe and non-toxic beauty products, kitchen staple, home goods. I mean, the list goes on and on.
It literally
and
does.
On.
It's an entire page of a list of the things,
everything that they have, the incredible things
that they sell.
It truly is just an online grocery store. It's like an online healthy grocery store.
Well, one of their like amazing other qualities about it too is that over 98% of their packaging is post-consumer recycled and filled with recycled paper, denim, or newspaper wraps instead of plastic bubbles. So it's 100% zero waste. And I think Dean,
I know I've talked about this before. I'm going to continue to talk about it here. I just ordered the Himalayan Salt Crystal Lamp, and I am still obsessing about it. It cleans my air, it eases my allergies, it helps me sleep better, and it reduces the electromagnetic radiation in my room when I sleep at night. So I keep it right by my computer to help reduce all of that stuff and just help me live better.
Yeah, I didn't know that it did that.
Come over sometime. I'd love to.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, God. Between the couch and those lamps, I'm telling you. Dean is
like
getting ready.
Best bachelor pad.
Anyways, keep in mind that Thrive Market's prices are already 25 to 50% off, which is just unbelievable. But they're also giving you, the listeners of this incredible podcast, an extra 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. You can redeem this offer by going to thrivemarket.com/Dean and enter code Dean when you check out. Like I said, free 30-day trial, an extra 25% off. If you put that on top of the 25 to 50% off that they already have their traditional retail prices in store, you're saving yourself a buttload of money. You're getting the best products possible.
Check it out because you will be addicted.
Exactly.
As soon as you go on, I've spent hours on Thrive Market, and I'm not joking about
that. I thought at first when I went on, I thought it was just groceries, but you legit can get anything.
Everything.
Shampoos, like...
I mean, I've gotten face wash from there, shampoos, I've gotten condiments, I've gotten snacks.
You were going to say something else.
I mean, they might sell those. You know, you never know.
Surely they do.
I'm sure they do, but check it out, guys.
Before we wrap up the episode, let's answer one email.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, I want to apologize to Tom Brady. He did not have two women pregnant at the same time.
I told you, it was Bridget.
No, he's listening to this podcast, and he's going to be...
However, Arnold Schwarzenegger did that. Two women pregnant at the same time. Lil Wayne did that. Hugh Grant did that. Two women pregnant at the same time. Fetty Wap and Diddy. All celebrities who have gotten multiple women pregnant simultaneously.
Well.
That's not like a good job. I don't know what to say to that. Shame?
Well, she's right. It can be done. Which would you like, Vanessa? Which one do you want me to read?
I love the anonymous. We love the anonymous. Right?
Yeah, you're right. I got multiple anonymous. You wanted the two brothers, one girl.
Yeah.
That's the one Dean requested. All right. A few years ago, I met a pair of very nice brothers and had a crush on one of them, but the other one was more friendly with me. Isn't that always the way? He has expressed interest in me and has mentioned that he has noticed I liked his brother when we first met. Well, at this point, I'm not really interested in the friendly one, but I'm still entertaining the idea of the other one. So what in the world am I supposed to do? If I get any closer to the friendly brother, I'll be forever off limits to the other brother.
Oh, boy.
But at this point, the other brother and I have zero direct contact, so I'm wondering if y'all think there's any way I can pull this off. Help, I suck at dating, but I'm also a modern woman.
Yeah, you go.
You go, girl. So independent woman.
In with the friendly one and try to make the transfer to the non-existent one.
It's been done before. I've seen it been done.
Okay, well, my only reservation with this is if she ends up marrying him, that's going to be like a weird energy.
They'll get over it. They'll move on. The old switcheroo. I've seen George Costanza do this many of times on Seinfeld. I would just go for the one you like. Don't even try to go through one brother to get to the other.
No.
Just go after the one you like, because then it's going to get messy if you start becoming friendly with one and then do the switcheroo to the other.
Especially the fact that she said she has no communication with the first brother. So that one's already out of your life. Done. Signed, sealed, delivered. He's no longer yours. Move on to the next brother that you're interested in and there might be a potential future with, and don't even worry about the other guy.
So reach out to the one you like. Without letting the friendly one know?
Yep.
Just go behind his back.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know how.
Wait, which brother? Which brother?
Let's name them, shall we? Let's name the one she's really into. We'll name him Dean.
I don't like
and
this.
And the really friendly one, we'll name him Easton.
I don't like where this.
What? Dean and Easton.
The married man Easton. You're talking about, Mark,
hold
right
on.
Now.
Hold on. Yeah, but which brother do we know she's having contact with?
The friendly one.
The friendly one, but what has she mentioned in
Easton.
Like text
Easton.
Messages and all that? I would be a little bit weary of that.
So she's in contact with Easton, but
she
really wants to get with Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tails all this time.
My advice is to just sideswipe Easton and go straight for Dean.
I agree. Go for Dean. Go for
Just reach out.
Go for the big
DMs. Just find him.
Why
Dean
not?
Sounds like a hell of a time.
But because I would tell Dean. Hey, by the way, I know your brother. Because I would want to start a relationship
well,
based
Easton
off of a
already
lie.
Knows, or he already know that she knows Easton.
You know that she knows Easton?
Yeah, of course. She dated Easton for a while.
I would do what Vanessa says. I would tell the other brother, hey, I know your brother, but I don't know if you want to.
Maybe
here's
I misunderstand.
The thing.
Maybe I misunderstand.
No.
She never dated Easton. Easton's been very friendly to her.
Yeah.
Yes, but the thing is,
Dean's
I don't think.
Her.
I think if Dean's not going to carry the way. So, like, you might as well just be honest so you can be like, hey, I was up front with you because, okay, let's call this girl Vanessa because she's anonymous.
Right.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm just putting my lipstick on here.
Dean's not going to care if Vanessa talked to Easton. That will not stop him from dating Vanessa.
No, that wouldn't bother Dean. It might bother Easton if Vanessa goes straight to Dean without telling Easton.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, which is what, but no. Oh, God, I'm losing my mind here. No, but I think that Easton will at least appreciate Vanessa being honest to Dean, his brother, about knowing each other.
Yeah.
Instead, because I think it would be a worse look for Vanessa if Easton goes to Dean and say, hey, I heard you're talking to Vanessa. Mm. I used to talk
yeah,
to her. And Dean's
Dean
like,
has
oh,
no
I
idea.
Didn't know that.
Right.
But if Vanessa tells Dean, I used to talk to Easton.
But think about how much fun it would be to sneak around behind Easton's back.
No.
It is very fun. I'm not going to deny that.
No,
so fun.
Not when it's family.
So, Vanessa, if you're like 21, sure, sneak around. Have some fun. But if you're like 29, 30, and you want a serious relationship, tell Dean that you used to talk to Easton.
So could she go to Easton and say, look,
And I'm
you're
kidding
great.
About the ages. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Easton, you're great. You're really nice. I'm not interested in anything romantic. But your brother's really interesting to me. Do you think you could set us up? Is there any way she could pull that off?
What do you have to lose, I guess, right?
She might lose Easton as a friend, but who cares? Yeah.
She's also going to lose
who
Dean as
Easton?
A potential partner. Easton's not going to set up his brother with
know,
a girl
no,
that he
I
likes.
He's
going
to he's gonna poison
would,
the water.
I yeah. would either go directly to the source and
if
go to
girl,
Dean and then say, hey, I know your brother, but I would be honest. I know your brother and like we kind of had a thing or I just know your brother and we were friends. No, I would be completely honest.
Just
then,
say
like,
you know her brother. Don't even say a thing.
If a girl was talking to me and was like, hey, you're nice, but I really like Ross, who's my brother. I'd be like, oh, great. Let me
now we're changing names. People are going to get confused.
No, it's his actual
it's
brother.
It's my actual brother.
Oh, okay.
if a girl that I was talking to actually told me like, hey, I like Ross more than I like or I'm more interested in Ross than you. I'd be
your
like,
ego.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you were into
would
her.
It?
Yeah.
That would hurt.
Really?
No way.
So,
you
Dean,
wouldn't.
If I came up to you and
no
I said,
way.
I like Ross.
Yeah, you're right. I never would have let it happen. Just kidding.
I was all in right. a reverse version of this. When I was in high school, I dated a young lady. I've told the story before, but I dated a young lady who was a twin. And we broke up. I stayed friends with the other twin, which probably wasn't appropriate. She grew close to me. We were intimate one time.
Ooh, Easton. Such a bad boy.
I know. Because I found her attractive, and
I love Easton.
She told me she wanted to date me, and I couldn't stop thinking about how I'm like that would destroy your relationship
with
your
sister,
twin sister. Mm-hmm. I did. There's all these repercussions. I'm like, I don't want to deal. I don't want this to happen.
So I wonder how the twins did it on Ben's season.
Oh, you know what you're signing up for.
True.
But still,
they're
I think
like speaking in unison and stuff.
And
like
even
that.
On the show, though, they showed them getting jealous of each other. Mm. And like, I remember, I think it was Emily at one point was saying how like Ben needs to make a decision. It's either Haley or me.
Dean, yeah. What about one of the twins? When is this still single and they're stunning?
For me?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
For me? Well, no? Haley, excuse me, Emily is dating.
Larkson. No. Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
No, well, no? close. No, it's William.
Some hockey player. It's not
yes.
Son
oh, my God. My,
and he's, anyway, he plays for
Lars something.
Lars.
No, it's, oh, my
it's God. Unimportant.
It's
unimportant.
I know
it's unimportant.
It's unimportant.
Yeah,
I think Haley is single, though.
Yeah.
Great. And Haley's wonderful.
Never met her,
and
so.
She's fantastic.
She's funny.
I met her in Paradise, actually, for a brief second. Don't try and
that
set me up
body,
with someone.
That body, though.
Yeah, they got the Pilates bods.
Yeah, they're. Anyways,
don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either of them. I think they're both gorgeous.
I'm just trying to help you out here.
Has anyone else ever dated a twin?
No. Yeah, I have.
Not that I can think of.
How'd that go?
I didn't really know that his brother that well. Okay. Yeah. I just got introduced to him after we started dating.
They didn't do any switcheroos on you or anything like that?
No.
You never know.
No, there was like one distinct feature about this guy that... I'll tell you later.
I feel bad. The twins did that on... damn.
Anyways, that'll do it for this week's egg-freezing episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. It's been a good one, as always, with Vanessa in studio. Big thank you to our sponsors, Joybird. Be sure to go to joybird.com/Dean and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using that code Dean, D-E-A-N. Be sure to build your portfolio by signing up for Robinhood at dean1.robinhood.com. That's dean1.robinhood.com. And of course, Thrive Market. Get 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial by going to thrivemarket.com/dean and enter code Dean, D-E-A-N.
And also a big shout out to Astro.
Oh.
Astro Donuts and Fried Chicken.
Did
well,
you get some of that
out
there?
Oh, of course.
Holy moly.
Is there honestly a better combination in this world than donuts and fried chicken?
We all shared a donut earlier. It felt so special.
It was a really bonding moment for all of us. Big shout out for supplying lunch for us. Downtown LA's beloved Astro Donuts. It's opening in Santa Monica this February. There's one downtown right now, but you can go to Santa Monica in February to catch another one. Also, you can go check them out on Instagram at Astro Donuts. Check them out, guys. They're awesome. Really good. Really good stuff. Thank you again for lunch today.
Well, thanks for listening to this episode, and hopefully, Dean.
Well... big thank you to Sadie and Whitney, of course, for calling as well.
Oh, yeah. Whitney, I'm definitely going to be reaching out to her.
Yeah, she's
the best. Got some more.
And a big shout out to Sadie.
I love how
Jared's engaged. Vanessa is hopeful with her dating.
I'm
more single now than I've ever been in my entire life. I've been hosting this podcast the longest. And I'm the only single one on the podcast now? Have I learned nothing?
Oh, actually, I did a podcast this morning.
I don't think you've learned anything.
I'm like, have you guys ever met Dean? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh my God. Listen, I big you up all the time.
Thanks.
You need to big yourself up.
Yeah. I like to put myself down so other people can build me up.
We should talk about that on the podcast at some point, because I think that's an interesting conversation. We tapped into it a little bit last week.
And I've dated some people that are pretty mean to me. So, you know, moving forward, I'm going to start focusing on
We're going to screen them for you before you start dating them.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Jared and Vanessa, don't suck anymore, but hopefully next week I suck a little bit less.
Booyah.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.